بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'm welcome to all of you to the 20th episode of Iftar for Soul Season 4. So this is going to be, this is the beginning of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and they are also one of, actually the most important 10 nights in Islam. And alhamdulillah, thanks to Allah that he has blessed us with that we are alive to have this amazing opportunity to get closer to Allah, to worship Him, and even to use the powerful tool of dua to influence our destiny, to influence what has been decreed upon us. There are, you know, it's an ocean, this entire topic of Qadr and divine decree, and I think it's we can definitely use this time to get to know more about this topic from the Islamic lens. And I highly recommend you to watch the Why Me and Dr. Omar Suleiman series on Yaqeen by Yaqeen Institute, on available on YouTube. I cannot think of anything better at the moment that suits better the explanation of divine decree. So it's also the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and you know, I mentioned there's a hadith regarding each 10 days of Ramadan signify, and I think the last 10 nights are from the for the freedom, the ability, the chance, the opportunity to seek distance and to free ourselves from hellfire. And I hope and I pray to Allah that we understand what's, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we are all in some kind of struggle. We are all trying to achieve something. And this is just a reminder that the ultimate success is only when we please Allah and we have His mercy and He has His pleasure upon us. And through that, we end up in heaven, inshallah, that we finally go and inherit our homes that our souls left behind. So on that note, and I hope that tonight is also the first night of the 10 odd nights. Many scholars even mentioned that you know, it's not only about the 10 odd nights, but also the each and every 10 night of Ramadan. It's very special, and you know, we could have the chance to witness Laylatul Qadr. May Allah grant us that opportunity to witness that indescribable feeling of witnessing Laylatul Qadr. So I hope and I hope that everyone is doing their best. I mean, sometimes doing a good deed is actually also refraining from a bad deed. So, you know, if there's this one funny reel that I watched, where, you know, I mean, it was funny, but the content was correct. One of the people, complains to the scholar that, yeah, I have one of my family members, they're always sleeping, they never wake up. And then they're like, well, if he's going to wake up and just sit and watch movies the whole time and will listen to music, he might as well just sleep, you know. So I think this is also, like, even if we do not want to sit down and pray and worship Allah on this night, what we can do, at least we can at least try to avoid the usual sins that we commit during the night. And that is a worship in itself. So, well, that's about it. Today we have a very, very interesting topic and a very, very significant topic, actually. I mean, this is something that the timing is just perfect, subhanAllah, that we come to this topic on this particular night. So let me get into that directly. We are going to talk about now Surah An-Nisa, of course. The ayah is 39, and it goes as follows: A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. What harm could have come to them if they had believed in Allah and the last day and donated from what Allah has provided for them, and Allah has perfect knowledge of them? Sadaqa Allahu al-Azim. Now, here the word that is used to you know, risk is basically, people usually, when we talk about risk, when we talk about sustenance, we usually think in financial terms, but everything is a sustenance from Allah: romance, love, ability, skills, intelligence, social skills, and whatnot. You know, the list goes on. It just The idea is that it does not only stop at my finances, right? The ability to eat and the ability to walk, the ability to think and so on. And these are all the sustenance that Allah has given us. And that's why, you know, we are encouraged to when we need some blessing in all in rizq, we call Allah by his attribute of Razaq, and that we summon goodness in our sustenance through this attribute of Allah. And you know what's really powerful in this is that we hear Allah talks about a disease of the heart, and that is stinginess. And before I talk about that, let's look at this, like, where the powerful aspect of this rhetorical question, and that is that charity comes directly after belief in Allah and the last day of, and the last day. And that demonstrates that our connection to mankind is as much significant as it is to Allah and belief in one of the articles of faith, which is belief in the last day. So this is a reminder that Allah is linking that, you know, whatever you're going to spend, I mean, everything that I've given to you, you will be held accountable for that. And that is exactly what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment. So it's a stern reminder. So and also Islam is incomplete if we're not attempting to the needs of those who are downtrodden in society. And henceforth, even prayer is mentioned together with the annual charity, and that is zakat, in multiple places in the Quran, that the prayer and zakat, they come together. So the element of spirituality isn't complete without my connection to humanity. And by humanity, does not only mean you know, that does not only mean the protecting people as only, but also the animals and the environment that is in, and ensuring that I support those systems that do not put anyone's life in danger, be it an animal or a human or the environment. And and thereafter, zakat actually holds a central place in Islam. And even if we contemplate more on this RQ rhetorical question, we would realize that not much is asked from us except our belief in Allah. He did not ask us for our money or to sacrifice anything, as it is common in some other religions and ritual practices, to please gods and whatnot. The central idea in Islam is therefore to nourish and purify the heart and ensure that we abide by the principles laid down in the Islamic system. And, you know, keeping that in mind, you know, Allah basically chastises the stingy behavior of those who refuse to spend their money for what Allah had, Allah ordered them, such as, you know, for example, being kind to parents, compassionate to relatives, orphan, the poor, the relative who's also a neighbor, the companion during the travel, the needy wayfarer, the slaves and servants. The list goes on. And, you know, I'm also quoting a bit from Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, so I highly recommend you to look at that. Here, one of the important hadith of the Prophet ﷺ must be mentioned, and that is that what disease is more serious than being stingy? And he also mentioned that beware of being stingy, for it destroyed those who were before you, as it encouraged them to cut their relations, and they did, and it encouraged them to commit sin, and they did. So Allah said that, and hide what Allah has bestowed upon them of his bounties. Therefore, the miser is ungrateful for Allah's favor, for its effect does not appear on him, whether in his food, clothes, or what he gives. So, you know, mentioning this, like, you know, about being stingy and not being, you know, money and prosperity are definitely signs from Allah. And there is no, there's another hadith of Prophet Muhammad where he says that when Allah grants a servant a favor, he likes that its effect appears on him. So Islam does not promote a lifestyle where, you know, you just because in the name of asceticism, in the name of cutting ties or from my desires and whatnot, I start living in the name of humility, for example, that I start living like a beggar. That Islam does not talk about that. Islam only says that, you know, there's this word of israf, this idea in Islam that, you know, you don't exceed the bounds, don't indulge in luxury, in lavishness, because then the focus shifts. Then we start thinking too much about ourselves, too much. The world then revolves only around our needs, because our needs can never be fulfilled. Even if they are, then we have this illusion of they are fulfilled, but how long, right? I think sometimes, like, my needs will completely be fulfilled when I have the next best iPhone. I get the iPhone 2 years down the line, and I want a new one. I want the new camera. I want the new television. I want the new couch. I want the new bed. And the list goes on, right? So there is this element that Allah is reminding that your existence is incomplete if you do not donate, if you do not give charity. And today I can highly recommend you to this Ramadan series, also from Noman Ali Khan, Striking Examples it's called. And today I watched the episode 7. I'm a bit behind. Today I watched the episode 7, and there Allah also talks about that, you know, Even when you give charity, the art of giving charity, right? So we should try to nurture this habit of when we give in the name of Allah, we give only for His sake. And Allah calls it a tijara, Allah calls it a trade. That and you know, that when we give charity, it all comes back to us. But then again, we should not expect anything from people. And at the same time, this is just a byproduct. But the main goal here is that we do it for the sake of Allah, because we internalize and we remind ourselves that just because I earn the money, it's all because of my greatness and my ability. Who gave me that health in the first place? Who made sure that all the chemical reactions and biological reactions in my body were working fine? Why am I not sick? How come I have both my legs? What if my half leg was chopped off? So Allah has facilitated and He has given me the ability to earn, to go out, to work, to put effort, to do hard work, and then come back. And at the end of the month, I have money on my bank account. So I cannot simply claim, right? Because this is the kind of mindset I usually have come across, mostly in highly developed and superficial societies, you know, especially ruled by capitalism and secularism, that you know, it's my money and I can do whatever I want. And in the name of self-love, the expenses on myself does not stop. Like I cook the best meals for myself every night. I cook the best meals. I go out and have a meal on the weekends. But then again, I go out and buy other things. I keep on spending money, thinking that, okay, I deserve this, I deserve that, I deserve this bag, I deserve those pair of shoes, I deserve an AirPod and whatnot. So, you know, like, here Allah comes in the picture and reminds us that you know, you being stingy is one of the reasons where wrath of Allah was actually invited. Allah wants to remind you that all of what you're able to do is not only because of you. All what you feel in your body, in your mind, it comes from somewhere. You've been given that by someone. And that is none other than my creator, Allah. So here, what's really interesting is that... just a second. For example, here in Ibn Tafsir is also about the knowledge, for example, right? The knowledge that is... No, we don't even have to be stingy with knowledge. And that's also something that we see pretty much, like, you know, when we have done something. Of course, I'm not saying that we should share our intellectual property. But then, you know, there are some people who stop some knowledge reaching out to some people so that we can have some kind of advantage out of this. And that's what Allah then reminds, like, you know, some religious groups, for instance. Some of the scholars pointed out that these were the people of the book who would keep and hold knowledge back. So what's interesting is that in all of this, that this ayah also that this ayah reminds us what harm could it cause them if they believe in Allah, go to the righteous path, replace showing off with sincerity, have faith in Allah, and await His promise in the hereafter. Because for those who do good deed and spend what He has given them on what He likes and is pleased with, Allah has perfect knowledge of our intentions, whether it's good or evil. And Allah knows those who deserve success. And that's why, you know, at the end the ayah ends like Allah has perfect knowledge of them. So it's also here why Allah mentions about knowledge here, right? Because here Allah says what harm could have come to them if they had believed in Allah and the last day and donated from what Allah has provided for them. So Allah talks when we read this argue again, that there's a belief in Allah involved, there is the last day involved, and donated from what Allah has provided for them as a reminder that we remember that we need to be sincere in what we do. We need to donate out of the love for Allah, out of the validation, excuse me, out of the acknowledgement that what I have in front of me, the money that I'm enjoying, the luxuries that I'm enjoying, eventually they were all a blessing from Allah. And that means if I want to do justice to my worship and believe in Allah, I also have to donate. And also to do justice to the article of faith, a very crucial article of faith, the last day when I stand in front of Him, is to know that I did my part of spreading the wealth that I got. like to give charity, to give to pay the zakat and so on. So I hope and pray to Allah that we when we have the blessings, regardless in what form and shape they are, that we are able to also share them with the people, right? Sometimes people say like, I don't know what I have done to deserve this kind of lifestyle, and there are so many other people, you know, having no access to it. Well, that was not in your control. Well, what is in your control right now? What are you doing with the blessings that have been given to you? Are you putting that in good use? Are you going out and helping people out? If you've been given knowledge, if you've been given some emotional intelligence, then why don't you go and help people in toxic relationships? If you've been given the time at hand, if you have so much time, why don't you put that time in service of humanity after you have fulfilled your needs? So there's no harm in buying new clothes, in buying in looking nice, in eating nice. None of that is put under question in Islam. It's only what you do with the rest, how you include others, how you include the people who do not have as much as you do. So of course it's also not about giving donating all the wealth that you have, but at least some of it, some percentage has to go out to people who do not have as much as you do. Clothing people, feeding them, and so on. And this is, you know, this is what the most, one of the most beautiful things about Islam, that I find that the spirituality is incomplete without the reality, the realistic part of it. So it's not all about meditating, not about cutting ties from the people and making your own tiny space and that's it. Islam is Islam extends beyond that. It extends beyond the reality of Islam includes the reality of community, of a place where we are living, right? So it's not only about locking yourself up in a room and meditating for the rest of your life. So may Allah guide us, especially in the last 10 days. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive our shortcomings, and may Allah forgive the shortcomings in our prayers and in our relations, and that we also, the lesson that we can remind ourselves is, you know, of mercy, forgiveness, that we are able to forgive and move on and nurture and nourish good relations within our community. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.